Hello and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. Today we're going to start a podcast series discussing the top 10 scientific problems with biological and chemical evolution, based upon a chapter that I recently authored in the book More Than Myth, edited by Paul Brown and Robert Stackpole. Here's part one, discussing the top 10 scientific problems with biological and chemical evolution. There are no scientific weaknesses in the theory of evolution. Such was professed by Eugenie Scott, the de facto head of the Darwin Lobby, while speaking to media in response to the Texas State Board of Education's 2009 vote to require students to learn about both the scientific evidence for and against Darwinian evolution. For those who follow the debate over origins, Dr. Scott's words are as unsurprising as they are familiar. It seems that on almost a daily basis, we find the news media quoting evolutionary scientists declaring that materialistic accounts of biological and chemical evolution are fact. Students who take college preparatory or college-level courses on evolution are warned that doubting Darwinism is tantamount to committing intellectual suicide. You might as well proclaim that the Earth is flat. Such bullying is enough to convince many that it's much easier on your academic standing, your career, and your reputation to just buy into Darwinism. The few holdouts who remain are intimidated into silence. But is it true that there are no weaknesses in evolutionary theory? Are those who express doubts about Darwinism displaying courage, or are they fools that want to take us back to the Dark Ages and the era of the flat Earth? Thankfully, it's very easy to test these questions. All one must do is examine the technical scientific literature and inquire whether there are legitimate scientific challenges to major theories of chemical and biological evolution. This series of 10 podcasts will review some of this literature and show that there are numerous legitimate scientific challenges to core tenets of Darwinian theory, as well as predominant theories of chemical evolution. Those who harbor doubts about Darwinism need not be terrified by academic bullies who pretend that there is no scientific debate to be had. So let's start today with problem one, that there is no viable mechanism for generating a primordial soup. According to conventional thinking among origin of life theorists, life arose via unguided chemical reactions on the early Earth some 3 to 4 billion years ago. Most theorists believe that there were many steps involved in the origin of life, but the very first step would have involved the production of a primordial soup, a water-based sea of simple organic molecules out of which life arose. While the existence of this soup has been accepted as unquestioned fact for decades, the first step in most origin of life theories faces numerous scientific difficulties. In 1953, a graduate student at the University of Chicago named Stanley Miller, along with his faculty advisor Harold Urey, performed experiments hoping to produce the building blocks of life under natural conditions on the early Earth. These Miller-Urey experiments intended to simulate lightning striking the gases in the early Earth's atmosphere. After running experiments and letting chemical products sit for a time, Miller discovered that the amino acids, the building blocks of life, had been produced. For decades, these experiments have been hailed as a demonstration of the building blocks of life could have arisen under natural, realistic Earth-like conditions, corroborating the primordial soup hypothesis. However, it has also been known for decades that the early Earth's atmosphere was fundamentally different from the gases used by Miller and Urey in their experiments. The atmosphere used in the Miller-Urey experiments was composed primarily of reducing gases like methane, ammonia, and high levels of hydrogen. Geochemists now believe that the atmosphere of the early Earth did not contain appreciable amounts of these components. Note that reducing gases are those which tend to donate electrons during chemical reactions. UC Santa Cruz origin of life theorist David Deamer explains this in the journal Microbiology and Molecular Biology Review, stating, quote, "This optimistic picture began to change in the late 1970s, when it became increasingly clear that the early atmosphere was probably volcanic in origin and composition, composed largely of carbon dioxide and nitrogen, rather than the mixture of reducing gases assumed by the Miller-Urey model. Carbon dioxide does not support the rich array of synthetic pathways leading to possible monomers," unquote. Likewise, an article in the journal Science stated, quote, Miller and Urey relied on a reducing atmosphere, a condition in which molecules are fat with hydrogen atoms. As Miller showed later, he cannot make organics in an oxidizing atmosphere, unquote. The article put it bluntly, stating, quote, the early atmosphere looked nothing like the Miller-Urey situation, unquote. Consistent with this, geological studies have not uncovered evidence that a primordial soup once existed. There are good reasons to understand why the early Earth's atmosphere did not contain high amounts of methane, ammonia, or other reducing gases. The Earth's early atmosphere is thought to have been produced by outgassing from volcanoes, and the composition of those volcanic gases is thought to have been related to the chemical properties of the Earth's inner mantle. Geochemical studies have found that the chemical properties of the Earth's mantle would have been about the same in the past as they are today. But today, volcanic gases do not contain methane or ammonia and are not reducing. A paper in Earth and Planetary Science Letters found that the chemical properties of the Earth's interior have been essentially constant over Earth's history, leading to the conclusion that, quote, life may have found its origins in other environments and by other mechanisms, unquote. So drastic is the evidence against prebiotic synthesis of life's building blocks that in 1990, the Space Studies Board of the National Research Council recommended that Origin of Life investigators undertake a, quote, re-examination of biological monomer synthesis under primitive Earth-like environments as revealed in current models of the early Earth, unquote. Because of these difficulties, some leading theorists have abandoned the Miller-Urey experiment and the primordial soup theory it is claimed to support. In 2010, University College London biochemist Nick Lane stated that primordial soup theory doesn't hold water and is past its expiration date. Instead, he proposes that life arose in undersea hydrothermal vents, but both hydrothermal vents and primordial soup hypotheses face another major problem. Let's assume for a moment that there was some way to produce simple organic molecules on the early Earth. Perhaps they did form a primordial soup, or perhaps these molecules arose near some hydrothermal vent. Either way, Origin of Life theorists must explain how amino acids or other key organic molecules linked up to form long chains called polymers like proteins or RNA. Chemically speaking, however, the last place you'd want to link amino acids into chains would be a vast water-based environment like the primordial soup or underwater near a hydrothermal vent. As the National Academy of Sciences acknowledges, quote, two amino acids do not spontaneously join in water. Rather, the opposite reaction is chemically favored, unquote. In other words, water breaks protein chains back down into amino acids or other constituents, making it very difficult to produce proteins or other polymers in a primordial soup type environment. Materialists lack good explanations for these first simple steps, which are necessary for the origin of life. Chemical evolution is literally dead in the water. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Stay tuned for the next problem with biological and chemical evolution. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.